Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
That's on the radio.
And online every Wednesday evening and morning. We're on the radio in the morning.
We're on the radio.
And on the internet at night.
Wow. The fabled land of the internet.
What a wondrous land it is, filled with wonders and news and video games.
Yeah.
That we sometimes play.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes don't play.
It's true.
And sometimes avoid from a far distance if we can do so.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, I have been playing a fair amount of games.
But wait, what's your name?
No one needs to know my name. It's Megan.
It's a secret.
It's a secret to everybody.
My name's Alice. And I like video games sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes I get really mad at them, and sometimes I'm disappointed. I think mostly it's disappointment, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's usually the feel. Like, not to say for all video games, but I'm like, if a video game is bad, I'm not mad at it. I'm like, just disappointed. Anyway.
Anyway, do we want to lead off with the disappointing first?
Like, yeah, do we want to, like, compliment sandwich this? We can talk. I'll talk about the fun. Well, it wasn't a game. It was a short thing. Next Door?
Ah, yes. The one that we both played, did we not?
Yes. Next Door is a little free game on Itch. It's like you can play it in your browser, you can download it, but it's based off of I think a short story by Junji Ito, who is a very famous mangaka, author of manga, Spiral, Uzumaki, Gyo.
I'm trying to think of the other one. It starts with an R. It had a movie.
Yep, I'm sure it did. That's bad. I do like him. I think he's fairly interesting.
I really enjoy his work.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's creepy horror. I even feel some, like, Lovecraftian. There are lots of actual games that have been based off his work. The other, World of Horror is another one.
We're gonna have to check that one out.
Yeah.
Bit longer?
It's definitely longer. Yeah, this one, like, a friend, we streamed this for people, and a friend said something along the lines of it was, like, interactive story.
It's right? Pretty much an interactive story. There's not
Which
a whole
is
lot
fine.
Of...
Like, yeah, the pixel art's pretty good. It basically is you are a person, and your neighbor above is making loud noises. Like, the music is way too loud. Those darn kids... And their music.
Interrupting your studying and...
Yeah, so you go to go yell at him, and he's like, have you seen... I'll stop if the lady next door says to stop. And there's nobody there. And then you walk past, and then some kind of very tall lady dressed all in black with a nice hat walks out. And it's just sort of creepy. Like, I would say, I don't want to spoil maybe the ending, but it's just, it's probably just based off of the short story.
It's definitely one of his more popular short stories.
I have no idea. I've never read this one.
Oh, yeah.
The one Aramagi Fault. Is that what you're thinking? Aramagi? But there's something, it's the one where they go in the holes. The holes that were meant for them.
No, I'm talking about the one that has the walking fish.
Gyo.
Is it Gyo?
Yep, it's Gyo.
There's that, and then there's the one where there's, like, a giant star that's, the scientist names after his daughter.
That's gonna eat the world?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like Death Star Maria or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, which is also really cool. But anyway, we digress. There are games based on Junji Ito's work that we'll definitely check out. Maybe Megan will, because I'm a baby.
I'm having fun playing all these horror games that I finally have access to.
Yeah. So that there's my good game. So, like, and this is not a game that I've played, and not necessarily a game that I've even, like, I paid attention to it a little bit because I know of Nights into Dreams / the other Nights series. And, I mean, Nights is in, like, the nighttime, not the...
Nights into Dreams was a very popular game
in
its time.
Yes, for the Sega Saturn. And they tried to revive it back for the Wii U. Apparently that game's not amazing. Recently they have come out with a game, and I keep on calling this by the wrong name. But it's called Balan Wonderworld. I keep on calling it Balan Wonderland. I just, because I feel that's a more enjoyable name.
Wonderland just seems to happen a lot with games.
And that's fine. So this is published by Square, not developed, but published. And this, I think the main problem with this game is that it was developed, or it started developing in 2018. And it came out this year. And it's like, it's also a full price game.
It's $80.
For us Canadians, it's $80. For Americans, it'll be $60, right? It's a full price game. It's weird, but it's not weird in the way that it's enjoyable.
So this comes from the mind of Yuji Naka, the guy who created Sonic the Hedgehog.
Which is really sad. Once again, this is sad because it also feels like this was his last try at a platformer. Like, hopefully this won't be, but it sounds like, from what I've been reading, what I've been looking around, like, he was hoping that this would be a good game. It's not a good game.
See, it looks very much like Mario Odyssey.
I think one of the things that I've been sort of hearing is that, you know, the cover looks great. It looks sort of colorful, interesting, like has an interesting character. The main character, well, it's not the main character. It's not even the character you get to play. You get to play this character as quick time events. And it's just, the main his name is Balan, right? And it's just, there's sort of, you get to choose between, female coded child and male coded child, right?
Right.
Different varieties of these. And basically, you're sort of thrown into these worlds to try to help people heal their hearts to an extent, which ends, every level ends in this cutscene where everybody dances. And it's like this, it just feels not like a part of anything. Like,
well, it'd be different if the people whose hearts you're healing match the art style of what's going on in the world.
Like, once again, the first guy you heal is like a farmer, and the farmer, you know, you're doing like flips and stuff with the farm, like you've got this synchronized choreography. And like, once again, I want to say that I'm not against like absurdity. Right?
Yeah.
I am not a fan there. Like, I can handle a game being quirky and weird. Deadly Premonition is one of my favorite games, which, like, a friend of ours has started playing, and I'm very excited.
Yes.
Because I think it is, there's a lot of bad, like, terrible things in the game, but ultimately I think it resolves itself with the quirkiness of the characters. Where this, it's quirky, but not in an enjoyable way. So, Balan, the only time you get to see him is these mini games that are quick time events where you have to wait until like a lower capacity version of himself matches up with the version of himself on the screen. And then you have to hit a button.
Okay.
And you have to do this like a large amount of times per level. And there's 12 levels. And that's it.
That sounds monotonous and tedious.
And like, not to say that it's like, you know, I don't know if you have to play these to beat the game, but it's definitely like you are supposed to seek out these hats and do this. Like, you're supposed to want to get these items. But it's just tedious. Like, you could just literally have a cutscene and it would be done. Like, you don't even need the QuickTime event. It doesn't feel, it's not adding to anything.
Now, another problem was with the hats.
Yes.
The costumes, which all have the same powers.
Yeah.
Or similar powers.
So, there are, the thing in this game is, like, it does feel like they looked at Mario Odyssey and were like, we should build a game like Mario Odyssey. Because you have these abilities that you get, like costumes, and there's 80 of them.
That's so many.
There's probably maybe only a good need for, like, say 20, because the rest of them are just iterations of each other. So one, you know, like, there would be a sheep that floats and a guy with a bubble that floats and somebody with a floaty jump. Like, and they're all different.
See, it'd be different if you could upgrade them as you go along and make them stronger and I think slightly different aesthetically.
To an extent, there is that. Like, there is some, because you can choose your favorites. But at the same time, there's no consistency. So there'll be things like there's a bird, but the bird doesn't fly or jump high, but, like, the cat does. And similarly, there'll be other things like some of the costumes only have, like, one action tied to the button, but no jump. So you can't jump with some costumes.
This sounds like a very limiting game.
And it doesn't sound fun, right? For something that is a colorful platformer where you take on different abilities of different things, that sounds like it should be a fun thing. And I think the main thing is that I think people will get tricked into playing this, or people will get this because people will, out of the kindness of their heart, buy them something, right? And be like, oh, this is a colorful game that looks fun for my kids or whatever.
Yeah.
And they would do, you know, like, they would maybe bypass it over something like the Mario, like Mario Odyssey, right?
Which, like Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, or you know, like maybe my kids are tired of Mario, or I'm tired of Mario. And, you know, bypass even like Bowser's Fury and Mario 3D World, right? Which is also just, it's just more fun. There's just no innovation to the gameplay. It's frustrating. The story is like,
And then there is...
Oh, yeah, the final boss
fight.
Yes. Yeah, when it initially... And I don't know if they've patched this, but for the final boss fight, there were several instances of flashing lights, which would be a seizure problem, like for epileptics or people who, you know... It was pretty blatantly. Like, and once again, it's not like this game came out... You know, this is a brand new game. It didn't come out like 20 years ago. We didn't really understand the effects of that, but we know now, and we know that's bad. And it's just bizarre that would be added. So I would assume it's been fixed now, but it's just like, for example, like when similarly, like Cyberpunk 2077. 2076, 2074.
That other game that was super successful.
Yes, that other super successful game. But it also had seizure problems. And people were really gross about it and tried to, like, cause seizures for, like, the reporter who reported it, which was disgusting. Which, thanks, gamers. TM. But it's just sort of, it's kind of a bizarre thing that this time, like, we're not thinking about people that play video, like everybody that plays video games, which for that's not great. Once again, it just doesn't make sense financially also. Like every demographic plays video games. If you made your games a little bit better, tweaked it a little bit this way, then more people would play your games. Therefore, you would get more money, which is what, you know, most AAA game companies want.
Like, who playtested this that it would be allowed to happen? Who quality controlled this?
I don't know. Like, and I feel the other thing is, like, I don't know who quality controlled it or played it in the first place, because it just feels like it's not broken, but it feels
unfinished.
Yeah, 2018, that means it's about 3 years. About 3 years. So I don't think that was enough time for the scale of this game, or it feels like they had an idea and maybe they even just had like character designs and based it off of that rather than building a game and then sort of implementing everything else.
Or they're coasting off Yuji Naka's name and reputation for weird cult hits.
I do think that there was a lot of, like, hype around this game specifically because people wanted, like, people really liked the original Dream Into Nights games. And people wanted to see more of that. That's a Sega property, though. So Sega...
Right.
Sega would... Yeah.
This is supposed to be,
Yeah, so this is now a Square Enix property, right?
Like, right.
And, yeah, who knows? But I would just say, like, maybe try something else. Enjoy, it's too bad, but it really is a game that probably could have waited another 2 years before it was released.
Some further refinement.
Yeah, but it's just, like, at this point, like, nothing's going to fix it, you know?
Although, I hope Yuji Naka does not give up and gives us maybe a Balan Wonderworld 2 with improvements.
Who knows?
They're neat character designs.
They are, but the thing is that this game has got, it has been slammed. I think this might be the end. Like, hopefully it won't. I don't think they will return to this if they did another game with, for probably good reason. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll go back to a game that we did enjoy.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes.
Yeah, so, last week I had talked about playing Faith Chapter 1.
Yes.
And it was creepy and fun, and I ended up playing Faith Chapter 2.
Wow.
Wow. It's very much similar graphics, similar sound design, and it expands on the lore and the story and the world a bit more that we're dealing with. So, we are in 1987. We are still in 1986. This is more or less a continuation of the previous chapter. You're still playing Father John Ward, and you are trying to figure out how to rescue two boys from suffering the same fate as Amy from Chapter 1.
Yeah.
So she was your main antagonist in Chapter 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, so unfortunately in the canon ending, she did not meet a good end. But you have the chance to save two boys, and there's three endings you can get with this one. And I have not yet found the third ending.
In this one.
The other one had five. The first chapter had five.
This has three?
This has three. But there's multiple game over states that you can get that can be considered bad
endings. Yeah. This one is also, it's just a larger game in general.
It is.
Which I think maybe accounts for the less endings, because versus Faith 1, you could sort of start from the car and go do something and be done.
Yeah.
And you could change endings that way. But this one, you have to go through like quite a bit of area.
And you have more in terms of quote unquote battle. You only had like two people, entities you could confront in game one. In this one, you're closer to like five or six. But it is still a whole lot of fun. I am so excited to play Chapter 3 to completion. And that's the thing, is you can actually go and play Chapter 3 demo right now.
Yeah, which takes place in, like, a hotel.
Yeah, so you have 12 floors you can go and explore.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a bit tedious to go up and down all the different floors to try and find all the secrets and figure out which doors work and which ones don't. But you can still get to one of the endings in the demo, which makes me wonder how big this next game is going to be.
Yeah, and this is by Airdorf Games, and they're fairly cheap games. Like, they're not expensive.
They're technically $1 per game, but I've been paying $2 because they deserve that extra dollar.
Wow.
And this third chapter is based off MS-DOS computer games.
Okay.
The other ones were based off the Atari-style games. And I think I'm going to go and check out some of the other things they have, because these aren't the only games they have available.
Yeah. Once again, I think it's one of the more interesting horror games that I've seen. Like, I'm not interested in playing these again, just because, like, I think they're fun. I think I could play them, but at the same time, I'm just, it's still a little scary. Like, they, once again, despite the tiny pixels of your tiny little man, with the one dot to tell you that he's a priest. You know, there are these scenes where they have, like, they're rotoscoped with, like, the pixels.
Yeah.
And they're really well rotoscoped. Like, they're very smooth. And despite being, like, in a different style almost, it fits perfectly. Like, it feels like a game that would have come out you know, 30 years ago, right?
Yeah, like, and if I didn't have friends watching me and commenting along the way, I'd probably be very anxious.
Every time you die, we just mortis. Yeah, it's great.
A friend of ours who is watching has now got mortis as his Twitch.
Yeah, a little soundbite. It's very cute. It's just, like, it's a good sound. They utilize it very well. Like, everything in this game is very, like, craftful, masterful. Like, they know what they're doing, and it's enjoyable.
And you can tell they had a lot of love for these very old style games.
Yeah, and horror in general. Like, just this kind of, because there's also just, like, a lot of lore, right? Like, you pick up these pieces of paper that tell you either something about, like, maybe this cult that's maybe around, or they give you some newspapers or some police reports, or letters that you're writing, right?
And they have small shout outs to other horror games and movies, other media out there.
It's interesting. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cute.
And you've also taken the time to show me and introduce me to Overwatch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
I've never played it before.
Megan got to play Overwatch.
I'm having fun.
Yeah, it's currently in Overwatch. It's some kind of, it's Archives Week. Please understand that I don't know what Overwatch, like, I don't know the lore. I don't really care. I don't play competitively. I play the hamster, like, because I play the hamster, and then I also play as Sombra, who is the hacker character, and people don't like her because she's annoying, and that's why I like her. So I play two characters that I don't think people really like, but I really enjoy them.
If you're enjoying it, then there's really, people can deal.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. People will get mad at you. Like, the only thing is Overwatch is just a little wacky, a little wild, right? Human interaction other than our friends, which, you know, who knows? It's a wacky, wild world. But who's the characters you like playing so far?
I'm enjoying Bastion, Torbjörn, and I think I could get to enjoy playing McCree.
Yeah.
But I also really like Orisa and Zarya because they can take a lot of damage and I can just smack people around.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Overwatch is a first-person shooter, melee, team-based game.
I can see exactly why people get really, really invested in it.
Yeah. No, and the main thing, I think, my main contention with Overwatch, other than, like, I think just in general probably is a hugely toxic community, is obviously loot boxes.
Right.
They want you to pay for cosmetics that you may or may not get, or you may already have. So very much, I make a very big point of I will never pay for anything in Overwatch. They can give me the magic, they give you money to buy stuff, like,
yeah,
money,
you can
gold.
Earn your way into,
yeah, so, and that's how I've earned, like, my hamster skins, because I've never received a good hamster skin through a loot box. I've bought them all because I love the hamster. He's my favorite. I found out he was a murderer recently.
Oh boy, some lore.
I didn't realize I chose the hamster that killed all the humans on the moon.
It's some dark and edgy hamster lore.
I guess so. It's just very funny. It that made me laugh. But yeah, Overwatch is enjoyable. Obviously, Overwatch 2 is coming out not this year, next year, who knows.
Whenever they decide to release it.
And I think there will be more of a PvE base, like, you know, player on
computer.
Bots. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And sort of more games to play, like more styles and stuff.
That'd be all right.
Yeah.
That's not the only game I'm going to start playing this week.
Okay.
So Switch has dropped Pac-Man 99.
Oh!
So I'm going to spend some time playing against 99 other people playing Pac-Man.
Yeah, so Pac-Man 99, like Tetris 99, like Mario 35.
Yes.
Not Mario 99.
So many Marios.
Yeah, I think it would maybe just be too much, maybe. But that is actually kind of neat. I'd watch you play Pac-Man 99. So basically, you're up against 99 other people playing Pac-Man at the same time.
So you can drop
and you
more
wanna
ghosts.
Be,
and
yeah, you want to be the person to win the Pac-Man. Yeah. That's interesting. Like, I don't hate that. So
we're going to check that out. And when I get too stressed out from playing against 99 other people and my Pac-Man skills, I will play Anodyne 2.
Yeah.
Because you were very kind and got me Anodyne 2.
Because it was on sale.
It was on sale. Now,
that's how I live.
On a previous episode, I had played Anodyne and I enjoyed it immensely.
Yes.
So I'm really, really excited to see what's going on with this one. Yes. So we're gonna check that out. But I think that is it for this week. And we have so many games we have to go and play and review. And that's not even counting all the cool stuff that's coming out in the next couple of weeks. Because we're also going to have to check out Nier.
Oh, yeah. And Pokemon Snap.
And Pokemon Snap. And Resident Evil 8.
Yes. Maybe they'll come out with a demo for the PC by then. So we can play at least the demo. Like all of the PlayStation 5 people.
It comes out on my birthday, so I'll maybe have to make that my birthday party this year.
Yeah, okay, play Resident Evil, yeah.
Play some Resident Evil. All right, everybody, that's everything we got for you for this week. Keep changing.
Bye. I'm looking for the